Welcome to Life Without Secrets. Do you often find yourself comparing your life to your friends on social media? You see the glamour, the success, the perfect family, the perfect kids, the awesome vacations. But what's really behind the highlight reel? In Life Without Secrets, we are going to dive deep and reveal the secrets, struggles, and strategies people have used in real life to get to who they are now and who they are becoming. Because the truth is, nobody is perfect. And you are never alone in what you're going through. So don't forget to subscribe to the show because it's time to connect on a deeper level and grow together.
Do you feel like you keep having to deal with the same problems in your life or your business over and over again? Well, get ready for a break free from this endless cycle. In today's episode, we're diving deep with Dr. Tracy Christofferson and Michelle Trosseth, pioneers in transforming leadership with the groundbreaking concept of polarity intelligence. Today, we are learning how to say goodbye to the old either-or approach and embrace a both-and mindset for sustainable success. So stay tuned, because right now we're going to explore how to navigate persistent challenges, leverage diverse perspectives, and create lasting change in both our work and our home life. Hello, Dr. Tracy Christofferson and Michelle Trosseth. Welcome to Life Without Secrets.
Oh, we're so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so honored to have you on. I want to just let our listeners know really quick, I got to meet you guys. They both came to my hospital where I work and gave a presentation for Nurses Week, and it was super helpful. I loved the perspectives that you kind of engaged us in, they were actually polarities, I think, in the way that we work and the differences between how people see things. And it was really an insight, I think, around the room that was like, oh, okay, well, that's just how they work and this is how I work and that's okay. And then you came out with your book just recently, Polarity Intelligence. Everybody has to go get this. This is such a good book. And, you know, in reading it, I was like, I'm looking at my husband and I'm like, you know what? That problem we're dealing with, it's not a problem. It's a polarity, you know? And so it was really just opening up this floodgate of like, oh, I'm looking at this wrong. And so I'm just super excited to be able to share with my audience, like what polarity intelligence is. I think that is kind of a newer concept, and I don't think a lot of people are familiar with it. So, you know, just to dive right in, can you guys explain what the concept of polarity intelligence is for our listeners and what the difference is between a polarity and a problem?
Sure, we would be happy to. And we just want to say before we start, we're so excited to be with you again. And I remember you said, I had to come listen to you because I also am a podcast host.
Yeah.
I said, someday we're going to be on our podcast together. So
yes,
thank you.
Here we are. So fun.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, we'll start by sharing with your learners right out of the gate what polarity intelligence is. And first of all, it warms our heart that you're already read our book. And our mission is to start a movement of polarity intelligent leaders. So it's starting to happen. The ripples are starting to happen. And what polarity intelligence is, it's really three different components that Tracy and I have learned about and worked with for many years. And we realized they all had to work together. And they are having a polarity mindset, being in healthy relationships, and engaging in meaningful dialogue. And the reason that's also important is that once you understand you're dealing with a polarity and not a problem, it's really important to have the skills to know how to navigate and how to leverage them. So I'll let Tracy start with the difference between a problem and a polarity and just what this polarity mindset is all about. And then we'll go into more things.
Yeah. So really, to have a polarity mindset, you have to be able to differentiate between a problem and a polarity. And many of us as leaders and healthcare clinicians are really used to solving problems, right? So problems have an endpoint. There's, you know, usually maybe one, two, could be three different, you know, alternatives or options to addressing the problem. And it's something that you're experiencing that you don't want to continue to experience, right? Once you choose one of those alternatives, usually the problem is solved and you're done. Now, a problem we face every day in life, well, my husband faces it every day in life, is what am I going to cook my wife for dinner tonight? Are we having chicken? Are we having pork? You know, are we going out, right? So and once he makes a decision, that's it, right? Problem solved. But polarities are really interdependent pairs of values or points of view or perspectives. And they really have to have each other over time to get to a greater purpose. So a polarity is ongoing. It doesn't have an end point. That's why oftentimes we see problems over and over and over, is because they're not problems with a solution. They're really a set of interdependent pairs that we have to have over time. Now, the best way to understand that is through inhaling and exhaling. This is a natural polarity our body manages for us every single day. As a respiratory therapist, this is what kept me in business. When it didn't work, I had to come to the rescue, right? Same thing for you as nurses, right? So,
and we appreciate it.
Yeah, our body manages this every day, right? We and here's how polarities work, right? So we have to inhale to receive oxygen. That's the positive benefit of inhaling, or that particular pole. On the other side, we have to exhale, right, to remove the carbon dioxide. And that's the other pole, right, exhaling. But we have to do both to get to that greater purpose, which is to sustain life. We can't sustain life by only inhaling or only exhaling. And if we overemphasize one of those poles, inhaling or exhaling, there's always going to be a negative consequence. So over time, we're going to start to experience, right, a negative consequence. If we only inhale and neglect to exhale, the ultimate consequence and the deeper fear is that we'll die. Now, the good news is it's the only polarity where death is the negative consequence.
Ooh, thank goodness.
I know. Wow. All right. That's a relief. But it really, it's the simplest way to understand, because all polarities work the same way. So both poles have a positive outcome that you're trying to achieve. There's a greater purpose that you get to with both. And there's always negative consequences that are experienced if you overemphasize one pole and you neglect the other over time.
Yeah. So many of us do have this either or thinking. And I mean, I think you talked about it in your book too. You know, it's like we've come from a place growing up where the answer was either A or B, not, you know, and you have to pick one, right? And you're wrong if you don't get it the right one. And so how do we start like transitioning our brains, or like, is there questions or something we should be asking to start transitioning our minds to see a perspective that is kind of a more both and when we're dealing, or see if that is a possibility? Can we see this as a both and, or does it have to be, you know, this or that?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can really just use a few simple questions to ask yourself, right? And we should always be asking, is this a problem or is it a polarity? Right. And it starts with, is there an endpoint? So if I just choose one of these solutions, will my problem be resolved? Like, will it go away, right? And that's one of the first questions we need to ask. Or is this ongoing? In other words, have I experienced this multiple times? Has this come up before? You know, we think about, recruitment and retention. I mean, our whole lives have been around, right? As leaders in healthcare, it's been a recruitment and retention. It's always one thing or the other, right? And so when you have something like that comes up over and over and over, then that's an indicator that's a polarity. The other thing too is to say, do I need both of these, right? Is there an alternative that complements this that I also have to give attention to? And so, you know, just asking yourself a few of those key questions can kind of help you to start to differentiate. Wait a minute. No, I do need to have both of these. I do need to recruit and retain. Right? I do need to care for myself and care for others, right? I can't just do one. I do have to have both. These are interdependent. Wait, this is ongoing. And that's kind of helps you to start to be able to differentiate between the two.
Yeah. So, and just so we can like give our listeners something that they can really apply, I think, to almost everybody, can you walk us through maybe like, what does it look like to go through this like polarity map that you guys have in your book that I suggest everybody really take a closer look at when it comes to, I like your example of the work and home polarities. And maybe we can kind of like walk through that. And I could even be your example because I know I deal with the same thing, right? And it is, there's, as you bring up in your book, many people deal with the tension of trying to keep up with life between the demands of work and then the demands of home life. And many, like myself included, or feel like it's hard to be successful at both, you know? So maybe, and I think before it was like, well, how do I do this? And I'm always trying to find a solution until I really read your book. And I was like, oh, I wasn't going to find a solution. No wonder why nothing I did worked, you know? So maybe we can kind of walk through that process on here.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. So
yeah.
In our book, we actually even have an example of what we call the back of the napkin. So there is a tool called a polarity map that really helps you see polarities because they're invisible. They're like gravity. They're there. They're always working like gravity, but you can't see them. And of course, it helps us. We always think everything has to be 50-50, especially when it comes to work-life balance or work and home. So there's different components of a map, but if you want to use you as an example, I say let's do it.
Yeah, so, I think it would be great.
So first of all, just, you know, what is your why, Jillian? Why do you want to have the best of your professional work life, and why do you want the best of your personal life? Like, what's your reason? If you had to say a why very quickly.
Well, why would be like when I work outside of my home. It gives me more of a sense of purpose. I feel like I'm contributing to something bigger than myself. I feel I was raised by a single mom, so those feelings of independence are there for me, which I tend to thrive on. And then I'm also really social, and so it allows me to talk to adults. So those are some things of, like, you know, the positives for me for work.
Okay. So those are for your work. Okay. Purpose driven, thriving, and social connection with colleagues, right? Those are all.
Yeah, totally.
All right. And what about for your home?
So for my home, I feel like I have stronger family relationships when I can give more energy there. I like being at like all their events, kind of like being their cheerleader. So they feel like people show up for them so they can feel loved and know they have someone to go to. And I like being the one to teach them about life and give them those life skills. You know, I feel like that's my, you know, role. And, you know, I don't ever want to miss out. And I don't know that could be a negative, actually.
Well, I think that's a good point. You always want to have positive statements, right? So you never want to have a I don't want or a negative connotation. You always want to state them in the affirmation, right? That's a good point.
That is.
Yeah.
And then why do you want the best of both of these worlds? Like, what would be your greater purpose of having both?
Well, then not only can my children feel like they matter, they loved, but I can actually have that same feeling in myself and showing them that they can do the same.
So being a role model and
being a role model. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really great. And it's just having that thriving life that you can have the quality life both at work and at home. That's really important to you. All right. Okay, so what we teach in polarities is that if you overfocus on one to the neglect of the other, you're going to lose the positive outcomes of one of those poles, okay? Now, as a healthcare clinician and busy person, what do you think most healthcare leaders spend their time on? Which pole, their work pole or their home pole?
Oh, well, there's a lot of work involved there. Yeah. Yeah. And they're long hours, right? It can be mentally, physically, emotionally exhausting, working in the ER Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when we do the map. What we help people realize is that if you overfocus at work, you're not going to be at your children, that you're going to experience the loss of everything that you care about on your personal side. You're not going to be there to support your family. You're not going to be at the events. You're not going to be there to teach them and guide them in the moments that they need you. And then also if you overfocus on your personal life, and sometimes there are things that happen where we have to spend a lot of time there, then you're going to experience the loss of everything that you really love and the positive outcomes about your work life. So when people see it mapped out, they begin to see that they where they're sitting, you know, that they might be sitting in the negative outcomes rather than in both the positive outcomes where you want to be. And then we teach them how to recognize early warning signs. So Tracy, you want to talk about the early warning signs and how we help with that? The map helps with that?
Well, the one of the things that you, well, because we know how polarities work and we know we'll end up in the negative consequences, that's what we're trying to avoid, right? We want to spend as much time experiencing the positive outcomes as possible. So what we do is we create kind of an early warning system. So you identify what are the early warning signs? How will I know that I'm starting to overemphasize this pole and neglect the other pole? So, you know, what we would do is identify what are the early warning signs? How do you know when you're overfocused on work, Jillian? What's like some of the first things that start to happen? What do you say to yourself? What do you start feeling? Maybe what is your, you know, what do your children say?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit more, I'm trying to think of the right words, but I'm just going to say what I'm thinking is like snappy, right?
Yeah.
Like,
get a little irritable.
I'm a little more reactive. I'm not like thinking as clearly as I could be, right?
Yeah.
And something that is really small, you know, it somehow seems a little bit bigger of a deal than it would be on another day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are early. We want the warning signs to be as early as possible. You know, my husband might say, I'm kind of worried about you, or you've been really working late, or, you know, my kids might make comments, right? Your children might say, I'm really missing you. I haven't seen you much, or your family, like, wow, we haven't talked in a while. So it's all those little,
or my house is missing.
Or you just, you feel like it's cluttered, right? Like you're feeling the tension of the clutter. So you will start, you want to identify those so that you can be warned early on. Wait. Okay. And now what that typically means is that either the action step you put in place to achieve the outcome you want isn't working, or you're not taking the actions to get the outcomes that you want. Right. So in addition to early warning signs, these polarities all have to be intentionally leveraged, which means you have to take action to get the outcomes. Outcomes don't just happen. You know, the only polarity that's managed for us is inhaling and exhaling. Every other one we have to be vigilant around. That's why the maps can be so important. You know, if I want this outcome, then what action do I have to take to get it? So while we have early warning signs for both of the negative consequences, we have action steps for the positive outcomes that we want. And that kind of rounds out the map. So you kind of have your own blueprint of here's how I'm going to maintain balance between work and home. Now, the other thing about balance is this isn't 50-50, like Michelle said. So what connects these, there's energy that sits between the two poles, right? They're bound together in this interdependent relationship, but there's this energy, right, that flows between them. And sometimes, like during COVID, like we were drawn to the work side of our work-life balance, and we needed to give more attention there. But what's important is you don't let go of the action steps that have to be taken to get the outcomes on the home side. Now, you might not be able to do everything. So you identify what's the priority actions I need to continue to take to maintain positive outcomes in my home life while I give more attention to the work. And this is what we call dynamic balance. So it's not 50-50. It flows just like when you have children are ill or have accidents, right? Yeah. Or or you have
here I am.
Or you have elderly parents, right? You have elderly parents and now you're giving attention, you know, you're being drawn to the home side, or there's an illness or something happens. Now you have to give more attention to the home side, but you still need to take actions to maintain the positive outcomes of you what you want at work as well, right? So it's always in flux and you're always monitoring and then making adjustments based on what's showing up in your life. So it's not a static, like a scale, right? 50-50 all the time. That's why I think most people think work-life balance isn't possible, but it is. It's just dynamic.
It's really important to recognize the early warning signs as a gift. To Tracy's point, don't wait until it's too late. And I was going to just share that I actually did that. I was a very busy professional. I love my job. And I was working more and more hours, and I happen to travel a lot with my work. And my husband told me one day, you know, I'm really worried about you when you get home from this next trip. You know, well, I want you to go to the spa on the trip, and when you get home, we're going to talk about it. And I was traveling on another trip not too long after that, and I actually had symptoms of a stroke in a hospital that I was visiting, and I ended up in the ER. And I didn't have a stroke. I had a hemiplegic migraine event, but they diagnosed with a stroke. I was there for 5 days. But in looking back, it was like, oh, I ignored all the warning signs. I kept pushing through it. And that's what a lot of healthcare leaders do. They just keep pushing through it. So don't ignore it. And then we put into action a dynamic balance blueprint at that point in time. And I think you were asking about what are some good action steps. So it is things like on the home front to, you know, schedule that date day with your spouse once a week and stay committed to it. Going out with your children, you know, and spending that one-on-one time with them, making sure that you go to their games, whatever it is that's important in their lives. And then the same thing on the work front, you might have to set boundaries up, right? That's a good action step, or have some daily routines that keep you with, you know, more grounded in those routines rather than having your plate turn into a platter and everything's overflowing all the time. So, but the action steps are very specific to each individual and what's going on in your life and what your positive outcomes are.
Yeah. And that kind of brings me to like another question that I had is you mentioned in the book that our values and our belief systems and our past experiences even play a really big role in this concept. And can you kind of elaborate on how these factors influence our ability to kind of employ polarity intelligence when it involves more than one person, especially? Because we're kind of talking right now about like my, you know, what's going on inside of me and like the struggle between, you know, what I want to do work and I want to do home life right and I want to be that role model. But like, then when we go out in the real world, we're met with other people who have their own things and we have to talk and collaborate. And so how does that work?
Yeah. Well, that's why there's three elements to polarity intelligence. Because when you are trying to manage the tension between what appears to be opposing perspectives, a foundation of relationship is essential. And so is dialogue, right? So we really want to understand one of the things to recognize about a polarity as well is while the poles are interdependent, they need each other, one's not more important than the other. And both are equally important. Both are necessary. And oftentimes when we are trying to manage a polarity, we have, you know, we're holding on to opposite poles, right? I might have one perspective and you have another. I'll just use Michelle and I as an example. We're walking polarity. So this is really easy. I tend to, you know, it's not that we don't recognize the value of both poles, but we have preferences for the poles, right? So when we're engaging with other people, we have to recognize they may prefer one pole more than the other. I happen to prefer productivity. Michelle prefers relationships. Okay.
So this sounds like me and my husband.
Yeah. Right. So you, what we have to understand about each other, right, is I need to understand what she values about relationships so much, right? Like why that's important to her. And she needs to understand what's informed me and why I feel productivity is really important as well. And then when we're kind of at odds with each other, right? If we don't want to adopt the other pole or we're feeling resistance from somebody in a polarity that we're talking about, it's really important to understand, one, what they value, but also resistance is oftentimes associated with a fear of loss. So when you think about it, if I don't know about polarities, I'm coming from an either or perspective, right? It's either your perspective or my perspective, right? If yours is right, mine's wrong. If mine's right, yours wrong. That comes from, you know, way back when we were kids, right? So we get into that. We think either or, we don't recognize both are important and necessary. So I'm afraid if I adopt Michelle's perspective and we give all the emphasis to relationships, I'm going to lose all the things I value about productivity, right? Not going to be as effective. We're not going to get the work done. We're not going to achieve the goals, right? So I that's where my resistance comes in, because I think, oh, if we do this, then we have to stop doing that. But once I recognize, wow, what you want is important and what I want is important, and we can do both and get to that place where we have a more effective, you know, business, then I'm on board. So it's really helping people to see the both and that both have value. We don't have to give anything up to gain the other. And we just spend time respecting each other's fears and acknowledging the benefits of both poles. And that's how you kind of navigate through that.
Yeah, that's so good. I feel like I'm thinking about how my mind is going to like kids, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how can we teach this to kids on like a smaller level, right? Like I'm like, because, you know, a lot of it is test taking and, you know, meeting these standards, but I was like, there's so much more. And I mean, my daughter's teacher in particular is just so awesome about like thinking outside the box on things. And I'm like, this would be so fun to teach her little class of 9-year-olds. It's so good, right? If we could start it even a little bit earlier. I think that this thinking would be, you know, just come so much more naturally when yes. we enter our adulthood, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we wrote the book, even though Tracy and I both have healthcare backgrounds, we intentionally wrote the book for any leader, any industry. We hope it does find its way in the hands of teachers everywhere, because you do learn problem solving at a very early age. And if we could introduce this concept much earlier, it would have a great impact all the way through, you know, college.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I absolutely love this concept. I think it almost feels like you can just take a deep breath, right? Like it's like, oh, like I don't have to solve that. Like, why am I putting so much energy there? Right? And that goes nowhere. And I mean, like my husband and I, we get in these conflicts and usually we see them, you know, come over and over again. Right. And we call it the crazy cycle. And I'm like, it's a cycle because it's a polarity.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not being leveraged, right? It's not being managed.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing when we say to people, okay, is there any problem that you've experienced over and over? And they all go, oh yeah. They roll their eyes. Oh yeah. Right. And how much time and energy do you waste trying to find that solution? Because we're taught, and we hear it all the time, every problem has a solution.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think about like even like if we go back to like nursing school or something like that, and the way like the tests are, and it's like, well, they're all right. The answers are all right, right? But they're like, nope, you can only pick one, you know? That's what it makes me think of. It goes back to that even. Yeah. But I think the other thing I think is important to talk about is I think one of the biggest reasons people don't share their ideas or how they really feel about something, whether that's at work or at home, is because they don't truly feel safe to do so. Like they don't feel safe to be completely truthful. And whether they feel like either like in the workplace, maybe they don't share because they feel like nothing's going to change anyways, or maybe that's in their relationship, who knows, or they're wanting to avoid the conflict altogether. So how do we create a safe environment for both polarities to exist, like in our own lives?
Yeah, well, that's again why we really incorporate the healthy relationships and the meaningful dialogue. And it does start with, you know, really creating that place of psychological safety and being intentional when we are with another person. So just think about even when you walk in a patient's room, you know, how you can very quickly set that intention and set that safe space. Or it could be in a team meeting. But you have to be very intentional about that. And then, you know, just really recognizing that we all are here for a shared purpose and having conversations around that and just really inviting that safe place. So that's a big piece of it, and inviting it and letting people know, you know, even if you want to speak up and you're nervous about something, just being honest about that. I'm going to be a little vulnerable here, but this is what's really on my heart and my mind, and share it with another person. So I think as leaders, we have to be role models for that. But we have to really honor that healthy foundation of relationships and inviting dialogue. And there's different techniques and tools that we have in the book that, and case studies that demonstrate that as well.
Well, and I think there's a couple polarities that really help. So on a personal level, if you can manage the candor and diplomacy polarity, learn how to balance that, that can really be helpful. And then the conditional and unconditional respect. That's really, really a significant polarity, because when people feel respected, unconditionally respected, then that helps to create that culture of respect, and they know that they can be candid, right? We can all be candid and be respectful with each other. And so I think those are a couple polarities that if you're in a team or, you know, on a unit and you're struggling with kind of that feeling that safety, if everybody could just even learn about those two and kind of start to practice them together, then I think that can start to evolve the culture, you know, and create that safer space. And like Michelle said, I think every conversation needs to start with, here's my intention, right? Because we make assumptions about each other's intentions. And then I think that's always helped me when I need to be candid to say, I'm going to say some things, but here's my intention. Before I get started, I want to just set my intention. Here's where I'm hoping we'll go with this conversation, and what my intention is in bringing these points up, right? I think that helps.
I think the other thing I'd like to add to that, Jillian, is that when people understand how polarities work and it's not a 50-50, you really appreciate that there's wisdom in both sides of a polarity in every person. So sometimes people are afraid to speak up because they're in a minority of what they think. So if you can actually identify a polarity that they might be working with, and then recognize that maybe if one or two people hold that other pole and perspective, and it helps you understand, wow, that's really important, because it is about both and, it's not about either or. And we've experienced people being more open and honest when others around them understand that both and thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's wisdom in resistance.
Yes.
Resistance is not always bad, right? It's just representing a tension that exists, and that there's an experience that a group of people or a person has had that maybe others haven't had. And what they're bringing to the conversation can totally change the trajectory of where a group goes. And so you want to be open to hearing that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think that is really helpful to understand. I like the way that you defined that in resistance and it being a good thing, because I think it can feel scary, but when you look at it in a way of like, oh, it's just another viewpoint, and it doesn't have, you know, it almost allows people to share their voice a little bit better and a little bit more clear, knowing that, you know, it's just a polarity. They don't have to be necessarily wrong in that or right in that. So I love these principles. Is there any other examples that you can share, whether personal or professional, for how like you've integrated the like meaningful dialogue?
Yeah, we can give one that we just experienced just a few weeks ago working with a team of managers. And they were a group of managers that have been together for, you know, for a while. And we had a dialogue on what they've really learned about high performing teams. And we sat in a dialogue circle and every person shared their experience of what their own experience was on good teamwork, high-performing teams, because everyone has different experiences. And then Tracy and I moved them from that experience onto a polarity map, and they actually created their own individual team polarity map. Why do we have to be strong as individuals? And it came from them, and we identified the positive outcomes of being strong as an individual. And what are the positive outcomes when we work well as a management team? And they identified all the positive outcomes. And then we actually looked at what happens if we overfocus on one and the other, identified the negative outcomes, the negative consequences of that. And then they identified their action steps and their early warning signs. And then we asked them to go to the place where they're actually, they personally are experiencing themselves right now. Are they experiencing more of the positive outcomes or the negative outcomes? So everyone kind of goes, and that helps identify the work that they need to do. So it's a really powerful exercise. And even while they're completing the map, they're using their healthy relationship and dialogue skills. Well, why do you feel that way? And some of people discover things about their team members they never even knew because we don't take the time to explore it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things too that came up in that dialogue was, you know, we always hear the term, there's no I in team.
Yeah.
Right. So they got a different perspective when they went to the map to say, well, wait, we have to operate as individuals. We all have different strengths. We all are bringing different things to the team. And so they got to see that in a whole different way in that dialogue. They had the conversation about that. And then they got to the map. It would kind of really help them to open themselves up to, wait, this is a both and. This isn't neglect of the I just because I'm a part of the team. And then they could also see how they could bring their different strengths and then how they could work with those strengths collectively as well, right? Not just the individual strengths. So, and they were just like, you know, just ready to go. Like, we're so ready to put this into action. And, you know, so it really shifted everything for them.
Yeah, I think it really takes the pressure off of one person and then it allows it to kind of be spread and it almost like empowers rather than takes away, right? I really suggest that people, and I'm not just saying this, but I really suggest people go get the book, but not just get the book and read it. I actually took the time and did the polarity maps. And I took topics like in my relationship or, you know, I did my own work in home like we did on the show today. And it really actually lets some of that stress go, right? Like, and you can get out that negative energy that you've been carrying around from certain things and allows you to release that, right? And then especially when there's two people involved, like doing this with my husband on certain things was really, it was like, oh wow, yeah, we don't need to stress about that so much. Look at, we're doing okay here, you know, like nobody, we're both winning, you know? So I really thought that this was super helpful in so many areas.
Oh, that's so great. And I think the thing that, you know, is important to recognize is there are still problems, right? There are problems that require solutions. So this is really about the differentiation and complementing it. And I think you're so right. It brings a lot of hope, right? And it really helps us to see the possibilities before us and that we don't have to turn away from each other, right? We can really turn towards each other and engage with each other in a different way. And not every perspective is an interdependent pair, but it's really about the exploration of that. And that's, I think, what the dialogue really helps with, right? It helps us to learn in a different way, learn in a deeper way, come up with a common understanding or even a deeper understanding of whatever situation we're sitting in. And really to explore it and not be afraid to hear it from each other and what our perspectives are.
Yeah, so good. Well, for our listeners who might be stepping into like a leadership role or looking to refine their leadership skills, what advice would you give them about integrating polarity intelligence into their leadership toolkit?
Well, in addition to buying the book, of course, I would encourage them to reach out to Tracy and I. We consider ourselves guides. We have several different ways that we work with leaders. A lot of it has to do with their own being thriving, resilient, unstoppable as leaders. But we have learned ways to really help them apply polarity intelligence at a personal level, because we've learned that, man, if you can get this personal and professional life down, if you could really master caring for self and caring for others using these tools and concepts, you'll be a better leader. You'll be a better role model. So that is one thing that I would definitely say. And then also just continuous learning around it. One of the things we're so committed to is we don't want people to learn about it or read the book and then put it down and never pick it up again, because they're always going to be there. But to really become part of this polarity intelligent movement. And then we also have a podcast as well called the True Leader Podcast, Jillian. So a lot that might be just another way that people do listen to it. They do get ideas about polarities, and that'd be another way that they could continue to learn more.
Yeah, I think it starts just like with you. Pick up the book and practice it. You know, just draw the back of the napkin map. And then when you start personally, then you start to get a comfort with it. You start to understand it because you're managing it in your own life and the different ways Michelle brought up. And then I think there's in the book, there's a number of tools for people to download to really, you know, use to differentiate between a problem and a polarity, to kind of start to map one out and really think about where they're showing up in the different parts of their life at home or at work, and kind of start to play with it and get familiar with it so that they kind of have some sense of confidence in themselves, right? There's kind of these layers of competency that you move through. So it really is just practicing using those tools, engaging others in conversation. Don't be afraid, right, to dive in and ask somebody about their perspective if it appears to be opposing to yours, and really start to think about it that way as a polarity.
So good. Yeah, this was my back of the napkin. It's a piece of construction paper that my kids had drawn something on the back of. And I was like, perfect. Oh, I'm going to start here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be anything fancy.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's the best way, right? Just kind of start writing it down and think about, oh, if this is a polarity, what would the poles be? And don't worry about getting it perfect. It's really just, at first, it's just the exploration of broadening your thinking.
Yeah. Totally. So where can people find you guys, learn more, grab your book? What's the best way to connect with you both?
Well, you can go to our website, missinglogic.com. And then we also have a book website that we put up as well, polarityintelligence.com. And then follow us on LinkedIn. Missing Logic is on LinkedIn, and we have a lot of people following us there. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And our podcast, the True Leader Podcast.
Yeah, and our podcast, yeah.
Yeah, so good. I love it all. Well, thank you both so much for coming on the show today and sharing all your insights on polarity intelligence. I know this was so helpful for me, so I was so excited to share it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was great. A lot of fun.
It's so much fun. Well, don't forget to check out their book, Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, for a deeper dive into these transformative approaches. Until next time, keep leading with both your head and your heart.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Life Without Secrets. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thanks for tuning in. And we'll catch you in the next episode.